It's the Memorial Day sales event at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Grande, and we've got over 800 brand new Mazdas with outstanding incentives, like low monthly lease payments and low APR financing. Yep, it's just a great time to buy. So don't miss the Memorial Day sales event at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Financing on approval of credit.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome as we get set for the second-to-last home game of the season. The San Jose Sharks playing host to the Calgary Flames tonight at 7:30, right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Pre-game coverage at 7 o'clock, and I am very intrigued with this one because Dustin Wolf from Gilroy is going to make his hometown debut. The Gilroy native will get the start for Calgary. Unfortunately, Devin Cooley will not be in net, so will not be Los Gatos versus Gilroy, but we still will get a little bit of that hometown action in tonight's game, which I am looking forward to. Based on the reporting coming out of this morning, Sharks morning skate, which was optional, it seems like Klim Kostin imagines he'll be in for tonight's game, said that he was feeling good. He was there for the optional skate and said he thinks that he is in. Blackwood was the first off, according to Sheng Peng, so he is likely to get the start unless there is a change. And it looks like Kostin will be in, and either LeBanc or Hoffman will play. Another thing, Addison and Quinn both reported earlier, this according to Sheng Peng, that Addison got the game misconduct in the last game for banter with an opposing player. Nothing said to an official. Quinn said he had never heard of misconduct for that. Greer is checking with the NHL. Off the top of my head, I cannot remember anything like that. So we'll have to see what exactly does come of that. But yeah, I'm a little bit curious about that one myself. I was curious to see if we'd get Klim Kostin back in there because he's just been playing such really good hockey. I'm very curious to see if he can bounce right back after being out for a game. And then beyond that, I definitely want to see what, you know, you're going to get from Mackenzie Blackwood, who was not at his best the other night, but the Sharks did not play great in front of him. So, you know, with all games, there are pieces of context that we're paying attention to, but I am very curious to see what exactly the Sharks do bring to the table in this game. And, you know, there's only one more home game after tonight, and I know that the Sharks thankfully did improve upon where they were 1 year ago, where they only had 8 wins at home, and I know that nobody was particularly happy about that. If we check in on the standings right now, the Sharks have 11 wins at home, so it's not a massive improvement, but it's certainly more than the year before when they just did not have very many. And yes, obviously, when you look at a team that only has 18 wins, you're not going to be blown away with an amount of wins anywhere, home or away, but it is worth noting that the Sharks did improve, 1 year to the next, that they were a better team at home. So I do appreciate that, but I think that we're all looking forward to the future when the Sharks will have a more dominant home record once again, because it just, you know, it felt like in the past, if the Sharks lost at home, it was, you know, not sounding alarm bells, but it was just such a random occurrence, such a random event. It felt like every time they were at home, they were going to win. And that's certainly not where we're at right now. So we're all looking forward to getting back to that timeline sooner rather than later. But to get a little bit more insight on tonight's game and our opponent, the Calgary Flames, we are now joined on the Sharks Audio Network by Derek Wills, the radio play-by-play voice of the Flames. Derek, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Good, all right. 6 games to go, so light at the end of the tunnel of what's been a tough season for the Flames.
When we look big picture at Calgary, what do you think needs to happen for this team to get back to A, where they were, and B, maybe in line with some of the expectations that people had around the team and around the league when we go back to the start of the season?
Well, it's probably going to take a little bit of time. How much really depends, I think, on what General Manager Craig Conroy decides to do with the 24 draft picks he's got for the next 3 years. If he holds on to all of or most of those picks and drafts players and develops them, then it could be a long rebuild. But if he moves some of those picks to bring in NHL players, and I look at the deal he made when he traded Tyler Toffoli to the Devils for Yegor Sharangovich and a third round pick last summer. If he can make some trades where he brings in guys who are if not in their late teens, then in their early to mid 20s, who are NHL players and maybe buried with another organization, or makes a deal where a team maybe needs to free up some salary cap space, or wants to potentially acquire a veteran player with a higher salary and has to let go of a younger guy that they really don't want to, but are kind of forced to, then I think this team can turn what would otherwise be a rebuild into a retool, where they're competitive again next season. And I don't say competitive for a Stanley Cup, but competitive for a playoff spot. And then you see where you go from there. But it really depends on what he decides to do during the summer. If he goes down the road of drafting and developing, could be a long process. If he uses some of those picks to bring in some actual NHL players, then I think it could be quicker.
When I watch the game against Edmonton this weekend, or I watch, you know, Calgary against any of the better teams in the NHL, I'm not exactly filled with a negative output. I always, you know, think like, huh, this team's pretty good. What is lacking in your opinion? Because that game against Edmonton, I mean, listen, I know Edmonton's not as hot as they were, but you take away the first bit of the season and they've been really, really good. But, you know, Calgary was with them every step of the way.
Yeah, the Flames played pretty well on Saturday night, and it wasn't hard for them to get up for the final battle of Alberta of the season. Right. So I think that was part of it. And there was a ton of energy in the building, and it was a great game, kind of looked and felt like a playoff game on the ice. The two teams clearly don't like each other. So for the Flames, that was almost their Super Bowl on Saturday night. Unfortunately, they lost it, their third straight loss, their eighth loss in the last nine games, but they played well enough to win it. And unfortunately for the Flames, quite often when they play against better teams, teams above them in the standings, they can match the team's work ethic, but they can't match the team's talent, at least not anymore. When the season started, we were waiting to see what was going to happen with all the pending unrestricted free agents. So if you go back to last offseason, they traded Tyler Toffoli, who was their leading goal scorer last season. They re-signed Michael Backlund, made him the captain. And I thought that that might lead to some other guys following in his lead and re-signing with the team, but didn't happen. They traded the rest of the pending UFAs. Nikita Zadorov, Elias Lindholm, Noah Hanifin, and Chris Tanev all got moved out. And when you subtract a team's number one centerman, one of the top defense pairings in the league, and a 4 or 5 defenseman, the team's just not going to be as good, and they haven't been. So the Flames, in my opinion, and I talked about this going into last Saturday's Battle of Alberta against the Oilers, their problem hasn't been playing against good teams. It's been playing against bad teams, teams around them or below them in the standings, the Sharks included. Game one of the season series was a 6-3 Sharks victory. And I remember talking after that game about how that just can't happen against a team that's well below you in the standings. But it's happened far too often for the Flames this season. And when I look at the Flames and the Oilers, and I think it's an interesting comparison because both teams struggled to start the season. Both teams were 2-7-1 in their first 10 games, but the Oilers went on that long winning streak. The Flames' longest winning streak of the season is 5 games. The Oilers were buyers, the Flames were sellers approaching the deadline. And when you compare the teams versus top 10 teams and bottom 10 teams, they're pretty close as far as their record or point percentage versus top 10 teams. But the Flames are 500 against bottom 10 teams in the overall standings. And I believe going into Saturday's game, the Oilers' point percentage was something like 830 or 840. So that's been the big difference just comparing the two Alberta teams. But the Flames' big issue hasn't been playing against the best teams in the league. It's been their inability to beat the worst teams in the league, quite frankly.
You obviously talk to the fan base and, you know, they hit you on Twitter and all these things. Where do you think the patience or the frustration level is? Because I do know, especially when the Battle of Alberta goes on social media, you know, the Flames fans want it to be how it was in the playoffs a couple of years when those two teams met.
Yeah, it feels a long time ago now, but it really depends on the fan, because the fan base here is a little bit split. You've got a group of fans who are ready for a tear it down to the studs rebuild and claim that they're willing to go through the pain that would be involved in that. Now, I look at some teams around the league. The Sabres come to mind, the Senators come to mind, the Coyotes come to mind. Now, we're talking about teams who have had a lot of top five, top 10 picks. They have a lot of talent, but they just haven't been able to figure out how to win hockey games on a consistent basis. So in my opinion, there's no guarantee that if you go down the road of a rebuild, that you're going to be good 5 years from now, or even 10 years from now. Look at the Sabres. Right. You know, they drafted Jack Eichel second overall, Rasmus Dahlin and Owen Power first overall. You look at their roster, they've got lots of talent, but they haven't made the playoffs in over a decade. So not all rebuilds work. Sometimes you've got to rebuild over and over again, kind of like the Coyotes have. So you've got a group of fans that believes that's the right way to go. And then you've got another group of fans that thinks that this team should simply retool and that they have too much talent to tear it down to the studs. They've got too many contracts. You look at Jonathan Huberdeau and Mackenzie Weegar. They're in year one of 8-year deals. Nazem Kadri's in year two of a 7-year contract. So even if you wanted to move on from those guys, it would be difficult to. So I think it's got to be more of a hybrid model. I don't believe that tearing it down to the studs is the right way to go for this Flames team. I think that getting younger is a good way to go. And that's kind of the direction that Craig Conroy has gone in this season. He's accumulated lots of picks and lots of prospects, but I also think that he's probably going to have to add some NHL-ready players. And I think he's open to doing that, bringing in guys who are in their early to mid-20s, who are ready to play in this league. And I think Yegor Sharangovich is a great example. He's 25 years old, and he's scored 30 goals this season. So if they can find more kind of diamonds in the rough like him, then I think this Flames team could be competitive again as soon as next season.
From one DW to another, Dustin Wolf, the Gilroy native, gets the start tonight against the Sharks. What have you seen from Wolf this year?
Well, it's been an interesting year for Dustin Wolf because there's not much more that he can prove at the AHL level outside of winning a Calder Cup. I mean, two-time AHL goaltender of the year, was league MVP last season. He's accomplished pretty much everything that he can at the AHL level. Now, when the Flames season comes to an end, he will head down to the Wranglers and have an opportunity to win a Calder Cup. They certainly won't be favorites going into the playoffs, but you get a hot goaltender and a guy who can play at the level that Dustin Wolf has at that level, then you never know what can happen in the playoffs. But it's really his first opportunity to be a full-time NHLer. So Dan Vladar's season is over. Dustin Wolf will remain with the NHL team until the Flames season comes to an end. And this has been a great opportunity for him to learn from a veteran goaltender in Jacob Markstrom, who's had a really good season and who has a ton of experience in this league, a guy who was runner-up for the Vezina Trophy a couple of years ago, and to just figure out what it takes to be an NHLer on a day-to-day basis. It's referred to as an everyday league for a reason. And this has been really the first time that he's been here, knew how long he was going to stay here, and has been able to gain that experience. And, you know, Dustin's had some ups and downs this season, at least at the NHL level. He's been really good again at the AHL level, one of the top goaltenders in that league. But now it's an opportunity for him to try to establish himself and to, if it's even possible to do this, prove to the Flames that they need to move on from one of Jacob Markstrom or Dan Vladar before the start of next season, because they feel like they have to open up a spot for Dustin Wolf. I would say he's one of the top goaltending prospects in the game. The only question for me and for others is his size or lack thereof. Mm-hmm. He's not a big goaltender in a day and age where there aren't many small goaltenders. But with that said, to be honest, there's only been a couple of games for me where he's looked small. So I've talked a lot to Flames goaltending coach Jason LaBarbera about how Dustin Wolf can make himself look big. And he said something that he's worked a lot with Dustin on is making sure that he's more upright. And so if you're a player coming at him, you see that flaming C on the front of his jersey. If you can see that crest, then he's probably making himself look as big as he possibly can. But, you know, he's a goaltender that outside of a lack of size, he's got all the tools. He sees the game at a really high level, anticipates the play, reads the play. He's got great athleticism. His lateral movement is phenomenal. And he's a guy who's really committed to his craft and to getting better every day. So for Dustin Wolf, this has been a great opportunity for him to be at the NHL level for for as long as he's been to this point in his career and try to prove that he should be one of the team's top two guys to start next season. And I feel like the Flames are going to find a way to make that happen.
Yeah, that game against Montreal, he was phenomenal a couple weeks ago. And then even the game against Winnipeg, he's had like 45 or 50 shots. And I know there was he was on the hook for four of them. But, I mean, we've seen it here in San Jose. You know, it takes – a tree can only take so many chops before it gets knocked down. And I felt like that was one of those instances. But, you know, I was hoping we're going to get the Gilroy-Los Gattis battle tonight with Devin Cooley of the San Jose Sharks. But he is not getting the start, even though that would probably be a good Bay Area storyline. Speaking of the Bay Area, what's your perception – of the Sharks and their own rebuild, because obviously they have, you know, they've been tearing it down to the studs. It's been pretty rapid with the trades of Brent Burns and Erik Karlsson and Timo Meier and Tomas Hertl in the last, you know, two seasons. But, you know, now it seems like that aspect of tearing down is complete and then they are going to start building back up. But, you know, obviously we see it differently here close up in the Bay Area than your perspective might be in Calgary.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have the best odds to draft Macklin Celebrini. And I'm not sure that he's a Connor Bedard-level player, but maybe not far off. You add someone like that to the mix, and I think that would excite the fan base. Obviously, that would be a great infusion of talent. And it's funny, because winning the draft lottery is better some years than other years. You know, I think about the Oilers, who have had, what, four first overall picks since 2010. And they're not all the same. I mean, they took Nail Yakupov first overall. I'm not even sure if he's still playing or where he's playing, if he is. But then they took Connor McDavid first overall. So it really depends on what year you win the draft lottery. And this would be a pretty good year to win it for the Sharks. As far as their team goes, I don't know. It's hard for me to wrap my head around how they've struggled the last handful of seasons, because for a quarter of a century, they were always competitive, sometimes for a Stanley Cup, other times as a playoff team. So it's, I'm sure, been tough for a lot of Sharks fans, but, you know, they're a team that's decided to go down the road of a full-blown rebuild. And I think only time is going to tell. I mean, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't work. It's an appealing market for players to play in, I think. Certainly the fan base there might not be the biggest in the NHL, but it's pretty rabid, in my opinion. And not a bad spot to live either. So it's going to be interesting to watch what happens with them. The Kings were able to turn things around pretty quickly. We'll see if the Sharks can do the same.
Derek, I know you've got stuff to do, so I will let you go. But I appreciate your time as always. Have a great broadcast, and we'll talk soon, all right?
Yeah, always fun joining you. And good luck to you and the Sharks for the rest of the season. And enjoy the offseason. Hopefully these two teams are more competitive when next season starts.
Derek Wills, everyone, the radio play-by-play voice of Calgary, joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. As we get close to the end of the year, if there's any questions you have, if there's anything you would like us to ask coaches, players, executives, let me know, because I know that Dan, myself, Drew, Randy, Hetty, Tara, we're all going to be trying to put together some team-centric content as we get close to the end and look ahead to the future of San Jose. And our coverage will always extend into the summer. It doesn't just end when the season ends. Dan and Drew are going to be doing their twice weekly Stanley Cup playoff report, where they talk about everything that's going on around the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I'll be checking in with players, doing our off-season check-ins to see how everybody's getting along and working on their games and trying to improve for the next year. I know that one of the ones, just like I was looking forward to checking in with Luke Cunnan a year ago, I'll be looking forward to checking with Matt Benning to see how his recovery is going, because he's a guy that, you know, I would like to see healthy back out there next year for San Jose. And then obviously we're going to have the draft and our prospect report and all sorts of things surrounding a prospect camp and things of that nature. At least I assume we will. We've done it every summer that it's not been COVID impacted. So those are some things to look forward to as well. So yeah, just because the season is coming to a close does not mean the coverage on the Sharks Audio Network is coming to a close. Far from it. But we are just about out of time. Remember, join us at 7 o'clock for pregame coverage. 7:30 go time as the San Jose Sharks play host to the Calgary Flames from SAP Center in San Jose tonight. And then tomorrow morning at 7, I will be back with you right here on the Sharks Audio Network, bringing you Morning Time presented by Coors Light as we look back at the game that was. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found for download under Sharks Hockey Digest on iTunes, Google, and Spotify. And on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app, presented by Western Digital. All music by Yogi Yen.